Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. As we start our service together, it'd be great if you could find a Bible. There should be one near you. So have a look in the pews or the chairs, or maybe you brought your own with you. And turn with me to Psalm 95 as we begin our service. Psalm 95. Psalm 95. We're going to use this psalm all through our service this morning, and it begins with, really an instruction, but it could also be a command. And psalms were often to be sung together in a group, and so this is a psalm that we, in a way, say to each other, or speak to each other, or sing to each other. So I'm going to read verses 1 or 2 that tell us to do something, and then we're going to do what it tells us to do. So you can follow along. I'll read it out to us. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. So let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of music, the gift of song. We thank you for that song which just raises our eyes, raises our hearts to you, to who you are and what you're like and what you've done. Father, we pray that our time here this morning would really help us in understanding that more, in believing it more, in trusting you more. Be at work by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do please sit down. I hope you didn't close your Bibles. We're going to keep going through Psalm 95. Because verses 1 and 2 tell us to sing, tell us to shout, tell us to make music. And the next few verses tell us why. So verse 3 starts with the word for. Why should we sing? Why should we make music? Why should we shout? Verse 3, for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Why do we sing? Why do we shout? Why do we make music to God? Because he's the creator. He's made everything. Some of you have seen different parts of God's creation through this summer. The mountains, the seas. They all belong to God. For he made them. They are his. The work of his hands. So we're going to sing a song now that again, just joins in with that theme, that idea that God is the creator God. He made everything. And we're to praise him and enjoy him and his creation. So let's stand and sing. Well, do be seated. We sing, we shout, we make music because God is the creator. We praise him for what he's made. And it goes on in the psalm. Verse 6, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. The psalm moves from God's creation, huge, big, think big, to personal, us, me. He made me. Not just the bees and the grass and the trees with the leaves and the mountains and the seas. He made me. He is our God. It's personal. We're the people of his pasture. He cares for us. He is our shepherd. We are his flock. He provides for us. Well, starters are 5 and unders are going to go out for their group this morning. But before they go out, we're just going to pray for those who are leading them, for the starters themselves, but also for us, for the rest of us who stay in here. Just thanking God, as the psalm points out, that we are his people. He cares for us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the reminder that you're the creator God, made all these wonderful, beautiful things that we can enjoy. But Father, thank you too that you're our creator, our maker. You're our shepherd. You care for us. And so, Father, we pray for these, our children, as they head out to their group this morning, for those who are going to lead them. May they know your help. This morning we pray. May they know that you made them, that you love them, that you sent Jesus for them. Please help the leaders as they lead our children this morning. Father, we think of Holiday Club coming up as well, and we pray your blessing on that. For all the children who come, for all the leaders involved. May there be that sense that you are the creator God who made and cares for us. And for those of us who remain in here, and as we sing a couple of songs now, may we be reminded of this, where we've perhaps drifted or are struggling or doubting. May we trust again that you are our good shepherd who loves us and laid down his life for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a time of quiet, either remain standing or sit down if you'd like to, but let's just remain quiet for a couple of moments. And I'll read those two verses again, verses 6 and 7. And just a time of quiet, just to respond in your hearts, what we've sung to these words. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Well, do find your Bibles again. I'm going to read from and speak from the Bible. Who's excited? Who's excited? I saw some of you get excited about ice cream a few minutes ago. Who's excited about this? It's the Bible. It's God's word. We're going to spend some time listening to it. Trying to understand it, hearing God's word. Psalm 95. We've got halfway through the psalm. And in the church Bibles, there's a really helpful way it sort of works for us, because we're going to start with the very last line at the bottom of the Psalm 95 bit. It starts with the word today. Today, if only you would hear his voice. And then it goes on, do not harden your hearts. Now, I think for all of us, we can struggle when it comes to listening to God's word. Opening the Bible, listening to a sermon, listening to a talk at kids' club, doing our daily Bible notes at home. We can struggle. And I've hidden sort of over here and somewhere in the middle here, and over on that side there, there's three items in the back of a blue chair that you wouldn't normally expect to find down there. Can you have a look for me? Three items. They found one over here. Brilliant. We might pass it to Mark. Do you want to take hold of that for us? Thank you. Mark holds on to that. We've got one there. You got one? Brilliant. Isaac, do you want to bring it up? Thank you so much. And we've got one over there. Who'd like to bring that forward? Carrie Ann's got it. Thank you. Okay, now I think there's three things beginning with this that we can do when it comes to God's word. Mark, you're going to come first for us. You come up here for me. And just put, what do you do with those? There we go. When it comes to God's word, I think sometimes we can be distracted. Distracted. In fact, I bumped into you. Can you hear me?
No.
Oh. Because he's listening to something else. We can be distracted. We come to the sermon in church, but our minds are on something else, stuff that's going on away from here. Or we come to the talk at kids club or in builders or juniors, and your friend keeps nudging you and talking to you and whispering. Or we're sitting in church and we feel our mobile phone vibrate. There's a new Instagram post. It might be really important and we might need to check it and see what's going on in the real world. Oh no, this is the real world, isn't it? We can be distracted. We come to God's word and we're distracted. We don't want to listen. We've got other things capturing our mind and our thoughts. Keep them on. Thank you. Now, what's the next one? We can be dismissive. Carrie-Anne, this is your one. Now, you need to be alert for this one. Carrie-Anne found a ball over in the side over there. What's this? Tennis racket. What does a tennis racket do to a ball? It hits it. It hits it away. Are you ready? Can we try this? I need to be very careful. I'm not sure which direction is the best to aim. Georgia? That's risky. I might go for the corner. Carrie-Anne, if you come in the middle, here we go. Gently. Oh. You've got it. Oh. Dismissive. Like a tennis racket with a tennis ball, it just knocks it away. It comes to God's word, and we just dismiss it. Perhaps we think we know it all already. Oh, I've heard this before. Psalm 95, I've read that before. I know what this is about. We don't really listen. We're dismissive. We think we know it all. Or we think it's irrelevant. Oh, the Psalms, that's Old Testament. Psalm 95, it's not even in the top 10. It's only just in the top 100. It's irrelevant. Doesn't matter anymore. We dismiss it. Distracted, dismissive, and lastly, now Isaac, tricky one for you, dislike. What? Come up here with me. What have you got there? Juice. What sort of juice is it? Lemon juice. Lemon juice. Now, what do you think? Do you want to try some? Do you want to pick someone to try some? You want to try some? Do you want to do it or do you want me to do it? You want to do it. You sure? I gave him the opportunity. Have we got some mango sorbet ready to take the taste away? You want to try some? You ready? Okay. What do you think? Do you want a bit more? Lemon juice. We don't like it. In fact, you held your face very well for eating lemon juice. Normally, if you have lemon juice, you sort of screw your face right up because it's too. You sure you don't want some more? No, I wouldn't make you. You can go and sit. Thank you all very much. You can go and sit down. Now, we can do that with God's word. Has someone got a sweet for Isaac just to take the taste away of the lemon juice? There's always people with sweets in here. I always hear them rustling. We can do this with God's word. I say we're going to read the Bible. We get to the point in church where we're going to read the Bible. We get to the point in Sunday club or kids club or that time at home, and we can be distracted, thinking about something else. We can be dismissive. Oh, it's not relevant, or I know it already. We can dislike it. We don't like what it says. Now, that's the problem, isn't it? We come to God's word. And in Psalm 95 it says, "Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Because to have these things is to harden your heart towards it. It's not to want to receive it, it's to put a barrier up. Not going to listen properly. Not going to take it in. Not going to believe it. Not going to obey. In fact, these three disses lead to three other disses. We can disrespect it. It's God's word to us, but we disrespect it. We don't listen. We can disbelieve it. It's God's word to us. This is God saying things, but we won't have it. We won't believe it. And that can lead to us disobeying it. Not doing what God wants us to do. Doing what we think is best. Disrespect. Disbelieve. Disobey. They're all signs of heart disease. Not the heart disease you go and see a doctor for, but the heart disease that is a problem before God. A massive problem before God. Look at what it says in Psalm 95. So have a look at it. This is God's word, God's voice. "Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Don't be distracted. Don't be dismissive. Don't dislike it. Listen, have a look at it. Verse 8, "Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did." Now Psalm 95 takes us back to God's people in the book of Exodus, book of Numbers, book of Leviticus, the book of Deuteronomy, back to the wilderness years. God's people were in the wilderness. Now, God had saved them. They'd been in Egypt before. God had rescued them from Egypt. They'd been slaves in Egypt. Egypt was bad. God had saved them miraculously, brought them out of Egypt, set them free, and he promised them a wonderful future. The promised land, Canaan. Rest. Peace. They'd been saved from Egypt. He'd promised them rest. But in between, they were in a place described as the wilderness. They had to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. And the wilderness is quite a tough place to be. But God was with them. He was leading them. He was providing for them. But you know what the people did? They do what we're all good at doing. They grumbled. They complained. They doubted that God was really with them. They thought it would be better to go back to Egypt, to be slaves again. They said that to God. "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Can't we just go back to Egypt where we had food?" They didn't trust God. They didn't believe that he would bring them through to the promised land. Now, we can be a bit like this, can't we? Because we've got the same things for us. If we can look back, perhaps to a time in the past, not that we were in Egypt, but God set us free. We come to trust in Jesus, in the cross, and all that God did through the cross. And he's promised us rest, eternity, heaven, a new creation. This is ahead of us. If we're trusting in Jesus, this is ours to look forward to. But in the meantime, we're in the wilderness. Life can be hard now. God's promised to be with us, but not necessarily everything will go well for us. Things can be a big struggle. We can be in the wilderness too. And the question is, will we still trust God? Will we trust him? And look at the warning. If we are distracted in the wilderness, if we're dismissive, if we dislike God, if we disrespect him, if we disbelieve him, if we disobey him, look at what it says in Psalm 95, verse 10. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Wow. God's people who he'd saved and rescued, they didn't trust him, kept questioning him, doubted him, didn't believe him. And God was very patient with them, but in the end his patience ran out. And he said, for a whole generation, they wouldn't enter the promised land. The people had to spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness until one generation had died out before the next generation could go in. Even Moses didn't get to go in. They shall never enter my rest. A hard heart towards God is deadly. If God's word to us, we're distracted from it, we're dismissive of it, we disbelieve it, just like heart disease, that can be deadly. But not deadly temporarily, deadly eternally. They shall never enter my rest, said God. So how do we apply this for us today? Well, Psalm 95 is quoted in the book of Hebrews. Remember when we went through Leviticus, we kept going to the book of Hebrews. It kept helping us to understand what Leviticus talked about. Well, Hebrews also helps us to understand Psalm 95. If you've got a Bible there, which I hope you have, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Do you see what's there? Verse 7. It's that whole section in Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It's quoted. Hebrews quotes Psalm 95. And then it helps us to understand how to apply this to ourselves. And if you've got time this afternoon, which probably most of you have, have a read of Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. We won't do it now, because we've not got time. But this afternoon, find some time, read all of chapter 3 and chapter 4, and it unpacks, explains Psalm 95 for us. But I'm going to land on just two verses. Here's the first one. This is verses 12 and 13. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now notice, what it's saying here is we're all in danger of having a hard heart towards God. That's what sin does. It deceives us. We can easily be distracted. We can easily be dismissive. We can easily dislike God's word. So what's the antidote? What must we do? Verse 13, we need each other, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. What's it called today? Today. Today is today, isn't it? What's tomorrow going to be called? No. What's tomorrow going to be called? Today. What will Wednesday be called? Today. Every day is called today, isn't it? What day is it today? Today. What are we to do today? Encourage each other. Encourage one another daily. To do what? To listen to God's word. To do what? To stop your heart becoming hard. Now notice it's encourage one another. It's not discourage one another. We're probably quite gifted at that. Well, I noticed you weren't listening in the sermon. I noticed you'd fallen asleep. That's discouraging, isn't it? Encourage one another daily. What did you get from Psalm 95 this morning? That's a question to ask someone, isn't it? can I share with you something I read this week in God's Word? It's encouraged my heart, maybe it'll encourage yours. That's something we can do with each other, isn't it? Encourage one another in God's Word, to be in God's Word, to be reading it. To have that sense that it's alive and real and speaking to us. Why don't we have coffee after church? If we're addicted to caffeine, because it's a nice thing to do. No, so we can do this. What day is it today? Today. So we've got to encourage one another. How do we do that? Well, it's difficult during the service, because generally we're sort of all facing the front and listening or singing and praying. But afterwards, well, there's tea and coffee, there's refreshments, and we have time to stop and talk. And talk not just about our holiday or the summer's come back and there's blue sky, isn't it lovely? And God's Word. Much more exciting. Much better than the blue sky, the warm temperatures. Much better than your holiday. Much better than the football result yesterday. God's Word. But we're so easy, aren't we, to be distracted. Headphones on. We're thinking about something else. We talk about something else. We're dismissive. We don't want to talk about God's Word after the service. No, that would be a bit too personal. No, we talk about other things. Anything. But God's Word. What day is it today? Today. There you go. Start with that after the service. Go up to someone and say, what day is it today? Today. So what should we do? Oh, I need to encourage you to stay in God's Word, to not be fooled by the deceitfulness of sin that will tell me that God's boring, tell me that God's bad, tells me that God's irrelevant. No, this is His Word. It's alive, it's real, it's brilliant, it's life-giving. That's the first application. Second one comes in chapter 4. Verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. This is a stark warning. Psalm 95 is a serious psalm. You drift away from God, you leave His Word, you become distracted, dismissive, dislike it. You disrespect God, you disbelieve God, you disobey God. What will happen? He won't let you in. You won't enter His rest. You are in mortal danger. Psalm 95 is one of those adverts on the telly about heart disease. They try and shock you, don't they? They try and move you. Psalm 95 ought to do that to us. There is a danger that we're all in, that we will not enter God's rest. So we need to make every effort to enter that rest, to keep in His Word, to keep trusting Him, keep believing Him. Well, let's get back to Psalm 95. We're going to end with one last thing. Here's two verses in Psalm 95. I want you to apply what Psalm 95 tells us to do. This is God's Word to us today. Today, if only you would hear His voice. Here's God's voice to you. And it tells us some things. What do we need to hear from this? What do we need to take to heart? What do we need to do? Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Just have a think on your own for a moment. Which part of that am I prone to doubt at the moment? What am I struggling to believe that this is telling me? God's Word to me. Which part of this really applies to life at the moment for me? I need to hear this. I need to hold on to this at the moment about who God is, who I am. So just take, we're going to take 1 minute. So try not to be distracted. Don't be dismissive. Don't turn away because you dislike. 1 minute. Just meditating, chewing on those verses. What from this is for me? What do I need to take to heart? And then in a moment, we're going to sing a closing song together. So if the musicians come forward.